Hour two presents the Purple Insider, Matthew Coller, fresh off of his trip to the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. How are you doing this evening, Matthew?
I'm doing well. I think that the talented Chris Tubbs is going to have to change that intro again to be J.J. McCarthy pretty soon.
Well, you know, it's funny because he did mention before you came on about the fact that we still have Sam Darnold in the intro, and he said he was going to keep it until, you know, we understood that he was officially no longer going to be back. So is that what you think is the deal, that this team is – it's J.J. McCarthy's – it's his time to shine?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tubbs is doing the right thing. It ain't over till it's over. But, you know, what I wanted to see when I went to Indianapolis and Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah went to the podium was just how they talked about J.J. McCarthy. I knew how they were going to talk about Sam Darnold, which is they were going to say we're very proud of what he did. And, you know, O'Connell didn't use that same line that he had said a couple times about earn the right to hit free agency because, well, you know, he's probably been reminded that they can franchise tag him, and maybe it sounds like it's contradictory or something, but that he was going to praise Sam Darnold. But, you know, last year when they drafted J.J. McCarthy, Kevin O'Connell looked at us in the room and said, "You don't, you guys push to start McCarthy before he's ready. I'm going to do it on my timeline. I'm going to develop this guy. We're going to be patient. We're going to trust in Sam Darnold to get the whole nine yards." And so what I was waiting to hear was any sign of him telling us to be patient about J.J. McCarthy, and there was no sign of that whatsoever. In fact, he went out of his way to tell us that J.J. McCarthy is on track to start the offseason program on time as expected. And then also, you probably noticed on social media, several Vikings reporters found out the same information, that J.J. McCarthy is back up over 200 pounds after everyone had noticed him on the sideline looking a lot less than that. So everything is pointing toward J.J. McCarthy will be the starter, but it's not what's going to happen. It's how it's going to happen, because, you know, I think the Vikings went to Indy and went out each night looking for Vegas Raiders, Tennessee Titans, Pittsburgh Steelers, all those guys to find out, will somebody give them a draft pick in this year's draft for Sam Darnold, because they have to decide whether to lay the franchise tag him on in the next couple days. And if teams aren't going to do that, then they could get caught holding the bag. But my guess is if he is franchise tagged, that means they found out and already have worked out some sort of deal with another team to trade Sam Darnold.
Do you think that that's a possibility that they go ahead and do what you just alluded to?
I think that that is the most realistic possibility, because when you look around, okay, there's this Matthew Stafford thing. It's not even 100% sure that he's getting traded, but oops, he bumped into Tom Brady, who's now running the Raiders in Montana. What a coincidence, right when he's supposed to be seeking a trade. So, so coincidental. But, you know, that is one option for these quarterback needy teams. And then there's Sam Darnold, and then there's a bunch of crap. There just are not any good options. I mean, I'm sure some opinions about Cam Warden, Shedeur Sanders. I don't think anyone thinks those guys are ready to be franchise quarterbacks tomorrow. And then you look at the rest. You got your Daniel Jones, your Justin Fields, your Russell Wilson, your Kirk Cousins. I mean, Carson Wentz and Jimmy Garoppolo are still backups in the league if anyone wants to play that game. Do any of those options sound anywhere close to a quarterback who is just top 10 in the league in quarterback rating and won 14 games? No, of course not. So I think the Vikings have enough leverage to make that sale, and not to mention that the salary cap went up, but the franchise tag number did not. So suddenly the franchise tag makes up like less percentage of the salary cap. So if there was a team that's trying to fit that franchise tag underneath for a trade, well, it's a little easier to do now than it was before. And if you're the Vikings, all you need to do to justify it is get a third round pick, because that's what they would get as a comp pick. And if you're trading them to the Raiders, if you're trading them to the Giants for a third rounder, that means you got something in this year's draft that you really needed, when otherwise you wouldn't have gotten until next year if you even got it. So I think that that is the direction this will go, but how it plays out, where he goes, what the return is going to be, all things that need to be figured out very shortly.
Talking to the Purple Insider, Matthew Cowler, courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. And let me get back to J.J. McCarthy for just 1 second, because you mentioned and referenced his weight, and he's back up above 200. That makes me feel good or a little bit better about J.J., because I got to tell you, man, late in the season when they panned to the sideline, I can't remember which game it was, but they panned to the sideline, and everybody's like, is that J.J. McCarthy? And it was J.J. McCarthy, and I'm like, dude, he looks so skinny, and he looks like he's 14. It was kind of scary.
You're right. And, you know, we had seen him around the locker room and had the same observation about J.J. McCarthy. And, you know, there was also the second procedure on his knee, which I had been told was pretty routine and swelling happens and things like that. But when you hear second procedure and then you see him losing all this weight, then you think, well, remember, he's not even, what did he just turn 22 in January. So if they were to be patient with him and stay with a quarterback that just won them 14 games, you would totally understand that, right? And it's not over, and I guess it still is in the realm of possibility. I don't see it now after the way they talked about it at the combine, but if they did decide to stay with Sam Darnold, I mean, that's not insane. Nobody would like it, but all that would mean was that J.J. McCarthy was not ready to go physically. But the fact that they are going out of their way to tell us how ready to go physically he is, to me, means they're preparing us for J.J. McCarthy is the guy starting day one of OTAs, and then off we go into the J.J. McCarthy era. And you know, that means off we go into the free agency, too, with a ton of cap space and a chance for this team to really revamp their roster, strengthen their roster around J.J. McCarthy. So, yeah, it is, you know, an interesting situation with his recovery. But one thing that we have to remember, though, is pro athletes at 22 years old are not normal at all. They're freaks. You know, I mean, like, can a guy gain 30 or 40 pounds of muscle in an off season? Well, you know, not you or me, but J.J. McCarthy, apparently so. So, you know, it sounds like everything is on point for him right now.
Outside of quarterback conversation, what were the two most discussed or asked about things that you saw with regards to Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi?
Guards. We all love talking about guards. And, you know, the Vikings may have taken a blow today because it was reported that the Chiefs are going to franchise tag Trey Smith. But that could also mean that they're looking to trade Trey Smith. That does not benefit the Vikings, because what would they trade someone for Trey Smith? They have used all their draft capital and they're looking to gain some, but they only have four draft picks. So I wouldn't be surprised if Kansas City does pull a tag and trade. There's also a possibility that they could cut Joe Tooney, who's on the older side, for them instead. But, you know, I think they want to try to keep their pieces there in Kansas City. So that was a hit. But it's clear from Kevin O'Connell that they are not planning to roll back this tackle that we've developed for a couple years. He's going to play guard now, or we're going to sign some guy for $3 million and just hope and pray. I think O'Connell realized when they played the Rams and they got their tails kicked, I can't do this anymore and succeed in my offense. I can't not have a running game or any sort of presence on the offensive line in the run game where, you know, if it's third and two, you got to pass because there's no way you're getting 2 yards. Like, they can't play that way anymore and expect to win in January. And they also, you know, they drop back deep. They throw the ball deep down the field. It's a lot of seven-step stuff. You saw Darnold hold on to the ball a lot. Well, that's also how O'Connell wants to play. But you can't have an average offensive line. You can't have mediocre. You're going to have above average. So that approach is interesting. Will they play in the draft? There's a couple tackles that might move to guard. There's a couple of high-ranked guards. There's free agent options still out there with some veterans like Kevin Zeitler or Brandon Scherff. You know, there's a few different options there. But about half of the league is looking for guards. Like, look how many teams were connected with wanting Trey Smith. It truly is about 15 teams could make a really good argument for the top guard. So I think there will be a ton of competition. And you know what? The number of executives and coaches that I heard in Indy saying, hey, you saw the Super Bowl with Philadelphia and their interior offensive and defensive lines. that is what is in vogue this offseason, and the Vikings are in need of both of those things.
Hold up for Kwesi getting a contract extension. What do you think is going on?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. So it was a little odd for us. We've done things a certain way, the reporters, with the Vikings in Indy for every year that I've ever been there, since 2017 was my first one, and it was done a little differently this year, and it wasn't the same level of access. And so there wasn't as much of an opportunity to ask some of those questions, which was curious to me, and there was no announcement. They don't have to announce that they've extended their general manager. I don't know why you wouldn't, but they don't have to. So as of right now, I don't really know what to say about it, because, you know, it's not like
it's weird.
Season starting tomorrow. Right. But it is like we are so far away from next season starting and him going into the lame duck year. But it is weird because you get the Schefter report the same day, the same hour as KOC, and Schefter reports that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is on the way. And then we've gotten radio silence since then, and then more limited access with the team at the combine. It was curious. It was very curious when it comes to this.
Can you confirm or deny speculation that you had said to Jordan Schultz that, you know what, you know, look, man, Ian Rappaport, he wants smoke. So he's over there in the Starbucks. Why don't you go ahead and run up on him? He wants all the smoke.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, you know this. These things happen all the time.
They sure do.
All the time in media. There are conflicts. There are yelling matches. There are people cussing each other out.
Oh, I've had a few.
About stuff.
I've cussed a few people out.
There's no way you could be in our business and have not done that or have not been in altercations. There's just too much stress, too much ego. You know, everybody is, you know, looking for their piece of the pie. And then with, you know, Schultz, he's kind of trying to be in that conversation with Schefter and Rappaport. They've owned the space for so long. And look, we all believe Jordan Schultz, though, right? Like, we all believe that this chance meeting in Montana is not a chance meeting in Montana, right? I mean, that Matthew Stafford was going there to meet with Tom Brady. And then, you know, Rappaport's coming out, and I respect the heck out of him, but he's coming out and saying, well, you know, the agent's saying this, and, oh, they both just happened to be in Montana. You're like, I don't know, man, there's a smell test here.
In Montana, all of all places?
I mean, every damn state in the whole country, and they both picked that one? So anyway, I don't know. It was, you know, it's a thing that does happen, especially when, you know, Rappaport has really owned a huge percentage of the scoop world for so long. But for the fact that someone reported it, you know, Mike Florio on his website actually going out of his way to report the altercation is high comedy, man. And, you know, I was watching on the plane back because I just got back. Because I get way more out of watching Daniel Jeremiah talk about prospects than I would in Lucas Oil Stadium. So I was watching on the plane on NFL Network, and they were laughing about it on NFL Network. Well, the guys are running 40-yard dashes. So it's kind of the talk of the town for this one.
You don't have to name anybody, but have you had smoke in the Twin Cities?
Not exactly. Okay. I had a media member lose it on me over an opinion, and I was very surprised. Like yelling.
It happens.
And I was totally out of nowhere, though, something that didn't involve that person at all, and then they just started yelling at me, and I was very surprised. I just kind of walked away. But other than that, no, the Twin Cities is a little different than where I came from. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in my media career in Buffalo, where it was happening on a daily basis in that media market. It's on the, you know, on the east side of things. But in the Midwest, I find that most people just say it to other people behind your back rather than to your face.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
why I was so surprised the one time it happened.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. I can totally see that. I just, you know, for me, I try, you know, I get along with basically everybody. But every now and then, man, there'll be a little bit of a, you got to check somebody. You got to say something. And I'm just kind of, I don't do the disrespect. I respect everybody, but sometimes you got to check it at the door. And to me, it's better. To me, it's better to check it at the door, get it out the way. And then, because I just don't like the whole going behind people's backs. And no, we'll just confront it head on and then we'll move on with the rest of our lives.
Right, right. And truly, I mean this, since I've gotten here, I mean, I feel like this media is as nice and respectful and stays out of each other's way as you're ever going to find in the country for a media market this big. And I have been treated so well. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to keep covering the Vikings, really.
Except for when they're talking behind your back and you don't know it.
Well, yeah, I don't care about that. You can say whatever you want. Just don't bother me with it, right?
Yeah.
But no, truly, the amount of support that I've gotten from our media, you don't see a lot of this kind of thing. But, you know, I don't know that the egos can even fit in a Starbucks between guys like, Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport.
It's funny. All right, so, man, over the next couple of days, you're going to be fixated to all of the workouts and stuff, right? Like the combine times and the position players and all that stuff.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, just tonight, for example, Derek Harmon, a guy from Oregon as a defensive tackle, really caught my attention. He's somebody I know that the Vikings met with and had a lot of production at Oregon, and then his workout was absolutely outstanding. So what you're looking for is, it was phenomenal. I mean, I know this is silly, but I'm watching him move, you know, around cones and stuff, and he ran a sub-5:40, which for a defensive tackle that's well over 300 pounds is pretty darn impressive. And so I'm watching him going, you know, that looked pretty nice. And I know the Vikings want to be able to rush four more often. We talk all the time about the blitzes, but they know that anytime you blitz, that means you're opening up a hole somewhere else. They want interior pressure. So I think that Harmon is a guy to really keep your eye on. But, you know, the running backs are really interesting too, because there's about 15 of them who are intriguing. And I think the Vikings could really look at running back, offensive guard. So, you know, the biggest thing truly is, and I've heard this from, let's just call it team sources, about Daniel Jeremiah, that he's always the guy to listen to. The most informed guy, a former scout. If you want information on prospects,
he's like, good.
He's the guy. He's the best guy to go to. So I love to sit there and just listen to him. I'm watching the 40s with everybody else, but really I'm just listening to him talk about prospects for a couple days. So that's always great.
Yep. Hey, always a pleasure to have you on, Matthew. I appreciate it, my man.
Thank you very much, Henry.
All right, Matthew Collar. Check out his fine work, Purple Insider. Fresh off the plane in Indy. And he denies starting the scrum between Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport.